Alright, welcome back to yet another episode of the Mondo Coolcast, and it's in the same calendar year as the last episode, so kudos to me for having the motivation to hit record and squawk into my squawk box a little bit. And we're going to jump into this episode with, this is something that's been weighing very heavily on my mind. It's a very serious matter in the world of video games right now. And, you know, social justice warriors and their no fun allowed attitudes have been just really shitting up the hobby. And, you know, the same people that 10 years ago, who was it, Jack Tretton or whatever, the Florida lawyer, it's like pretending to shoot people is actually real violence and it's a problem. These same people are now demonizing anything that involves a female character. And I could get into how I really feel about it, but I'm not sure I want to have that recorded and put on the internet. Anyone that knows me and has spoken to me knows how I feel about these dipshits. And I have many much more colorful things to say and insane opinions. Feel free to have a conversation with me someday about that. But yeah, so they decided that Tecmo Koei decided they're not going to release the volleyball booby game in America. And this is serious business. So PlayAsia, famous website for importing, I've imported games from PlayAsia myself in the past, said, don't worry, import the Asian version. It has English subtitles, and it'll retail for $60 like a domestic PlayStation 4 game, and good times. And this somehow butthurt, quote-unquote, video game journalists. And, okay, now I remember where I saw this. I'm actually going to pause this and bring up my materials. This is the second time I tried recording, but I was trying to find some tweets that I saw screen-capped somewhere, but now I remember where they're at, so I'm going to bring those up, and through the magics of internet podcast hokum pokum, you're not even going to know that I was gone, because I'm just going to hit pause and record, and you don't get to suffer the loud clacking as I type furiously into my browser the shit I want to pull up. So one moment, please. Okay. One moment, please, is one of the most magical phrases I've learned at my shitty telephone job. It gets you through many, many sticky situations, rest assured. Tonight I'll be drinking Mountain Dew Black Label. This is dew with a crafted dark berry. And I would describe it as purple Baja Blast. Like, imagine if, like, Baja Blast tastes exactly what you think that color of blue would taste like. Imagine if there's kind of a fuchsia purple, a little deeper than fuchsia, purple color Mountain Dew. That's about what you get. Goddamn delicious. Now I'm really ready to talk about video games now that I got my Dew infusion. Alright, so PlayAsia comes out and they say, hey, you want to play titty games? We'll import titty games. You don't have to worry about walking into Walmart and feeling like a dipshit buying these titty games like some kind of fucking monster. So here's a couple of tweets. Luke Plunkett, you know, famous Kotaku dipshit, responded, how to lose friends and influence nobody. I don't think anyone lost friends. See, Mike Drucker, not sure who this retard is. Oh, hi, I'm never shopping on your site again, but glad you planted your flag on a softcore porn volleyball game. Also, and see, Kevin Van Ord. And so, PlayAsia ensures I'll never buy anything from them again. And Dancer Vesperman tweeted, right, PlayAsia is definitely going on my blacklist. And this guy has a fedora dummy with problem glasses and a fucking neck beard. I'm sure each and every one of these people have decried PlayAsia are going to come crawling the fuck back the first time they want to get some weeb games that fits in with their social justice narrative. Let's see, Nathan Cox, PlayAsia, well, that's one hell of a way to lose a customer. Won't be using your service again. Fucking boo-hoo. So there was outlash, and this is just someone. There's a video I was watching. They posted these tweets. I'm sure there's more, but what kind of sane human being actually goes onto the fucking Twitter sphere? I'm pretty sure that's just something moms do now. Does anyone here use Twitter? Like, I have it set up so that whatever I post on the Facebook goes to Twitter, but I haven't really used Twitter in a couple years to any significant degree. So, anyway, everybody's upset about the titty game. No one wants to watch these pretend titties bounce, and it's highly offensive to watch pretend titties, because these pretend women are literally being raped by your eyes. When you play this game, you're basically committing 1,000 acts of sexual violence for realsies, guys. Because these pretend titty women bounced around with the volleyball. Serious business. So, PlayAsia actually, their highest selling game in the history of the fucking website is this game. So the controversy did nothing but put more copies of this vile, heinous titty game into the hands of people that like titty games. And that's nice, you know? It really is true that there is no such thing as bad publicity. I don't think that they intended for this to happen. I think Tecmo Koei just didn't want to hear filthy fat gaijin neckbeards boo-hooing about giving people the option to look at pretend titties bounce on the beach. I don't think they intended to sell more copies of the Asian version of the game. But that's what happened. So, let's see. Where's the other resource? For April Fool's Day, PlayAsia tweeted this. And I'm going to read this thing. And if I can. All right. Okay, that's what I... Not quite what I want to do. All right. With great power comes great responsibility. And we might have gone too far. Hashtag, make gaming great again. Oh, man, my cock is already rock hard. To our dear customers, dead or alive Extreme 3, it's been an immensely rewarding journey. However, for those who've been following our exploits since November, we have to say that we'd never expect everything to go this far. And now that we've a moment to reflect, perhaps we've gone too far with the way we've been presenting ourselves, especially with a few choice tweets. For the stance we took throughout the entire debacle, we have to apologize, especially if we've offended anyone. While having the choice to play whatever games you want is important, what's more important is the accommodation for the precious feelings of every single person, even if they themselves have no actual vested interest in said game. Therefore, we've decided to introduce a new initiative, Safe Games, trademark. Safe Games, trademark, is PlayAsia.com's newest initiative designed to better serve the diverse community that is modern and progressive gamers. The most important thing a company can do is preserve the safety of its customers. Featuring three main points to the initiative, here's how it'll work. 1. Softer. Rounder, curvier packaging peanuts, because the presentation of safety is paramount in this mad, mad world. 2. Joining our hands together with Handhold Premium. Sometimes a game's theme can be overwhelming. For a premium fee, we will send a trained PlayAsia.com staff member to hold you close, listen, and believe. 3. Watchdog. By PlayAsia.com, the new banning community dedicated to helping customers by reporting on overwhelming or difficult themes in video games. We believe no gamer should have to stare down the scope of their rifle and see uninvited and problematic sexually explicit material glaring back. Over are the days of living in fear of what is behind the ESRB rating, because now you can be safe in the arms of those who care most. PlayAsia.com. I think that really sums up, and I'm glad that the company has the balls to realize that the dumb twats and cunts that are boo-hooing the most on the internet are people that have absolutely no fucking interest in video games. These people would not have bought this game. They probably aren't buying any video games. They're probably women's history majors or whatever bullshit propaganda mill they've signed up for. They have absolutely no fucking interest in this titty game, and or any game for that matter, and didn't do anything other than create a bunch of free publicity, making PlayAsia a shitload of money, and all these fucking cowards. These fucking cowards, especially proud gaming journalists like the cunt from Kotaku. You know, Kotaku just famously suffered a severe case of Hulkamania. I mean, brother Nick Denton, or I think that's the dummy's name, he didn't know what to do when Hulkamania came running down on him. And they lost this case. But he's saying that, you know, freedom of speech is just tantamount to this fucking society we live in. And how can one of his writers for the Bastion, the beacon of truth that is Kotaku, how could he be upset about people choosing to spend their money for the entertainment they choose? You know, using First Amendment rights. I don't think that's true. I believe that the production of a game like this is protected under the First Amendment. I don't think you're using your rights when you purchase the game, but it's an individual responsibility. No one's forcing you to look at the titties bounce. No one's forcefully subjecting anyone. It does no harm to anyone what you do in the privacy of your home with digital entertainment. And I don't know, it's just, it's fucking outrageous the world we live in. These people that were foaming at the mouth, hysterical over someone trying to subject censorship onto video games 10 years ago regarding violence. You know, fantasy depictions of murder, you know, the physics in those games, you know, ragdoll physics, you know, the physics of a corpse crumbling to the ground after you put a fucking slug through their brain, just defended that tooth and nail. But pretending to watch a couple of titty bitches wiggling on the beach? Oh, absolutely deplorable. Not in this day and age. It's 2016, shitlord. How dare you want to watch a titty bitch wiggle? You fucking despicable piece of shit. I don't know. I thought that was a pretty scathing tweet. I think it perfectly captures the nature of these no-fun-allowed dummies. So, I don't know. What's the next topic? Okay, that fucking podcast. I mentioned it last time, and after I sent that initial email, and he responded to me, and I responded back, never contacted me, and I realized I didn't include my Skype name, but I thought it was obvious. My name on Instagram is Jerry Terrifying. My email address is Jerry Terrifying. I just thought he'd put two and two together and get Jerry Terrifying as my Skype, but I haven't really gone out of my way. Don't really care. I said everything I want to say to the people I actually care to say it to, and that's you, you faithful, magnificent sons of bitches that, after a trillion-year hiatus, tuned in to the podcast and left like a thousand awesome comments, which I need to pull up, because I realized I didn't read the comments from the last episode, but I don't know, maybe I'll do that in this episode. Bring those up now. So I probably should have had all this ready, but like I said, you know, I just got home from work, ate, hit record on my mic, and we got a podcast, guys. We're fucking podcasting hard. If you'd like to call in and leave a voicemail, which I can play as an MP3 on the show, I think that's a lot cooler than me reading the comments. I can just play that shit. You just call in, leave a voicemail. I'm sure you've left voicemails. I don't leave a lot of voicemails. I send a lot of text messages. But if you want to talk about titty bitches wiggling and have your voice heard on the Mondo Coolcast and tell other strange men on the internet that listen to other men talk about video games deep into the night. You can call in 937-419-1223. And the numbers listed on the Mondo Cool website for the podcast page. I was really happy that people started calling in on the VAG episodes. So that reminds me, tomorrow I have to make an episode of VAG. Which you know how it goes with me. May happen, may not. I'm going to add that to my notes that I got going on here. I'm going to talk about what I got after this next topic. But yeah, if you've got just a really strong opinion about titty bitches and wiggling, Lord knows I do. The fantasy depiction of wiggling titty bitches on the beach is near and dear to my heart. Go ahead, call in, leave that voicemail. I'll play it on the next episode. Nothing would make me happier than to do that. So the next thing, I was driving home today, and this is what got my knickers in a knot. And, oh man, that dude is just blasting me into game-filled heaven. Let's see. That fucking podcast I started listening to, I was listening to it on the way home. I was like, I wonder if he commented that there's a maniac that likes the 3DO and doesn't mind, and has a slightly favorable opinion of stickers and shit on video games, which coincidentally, I did buy a game last week, or a few weeks, I don't know, I got it recently. I got a Super Nintendo game that's called Operation Logic Bomb. It's going to be a future episode of Mondo Cool TV someday. And, oh shit, I need to put that, hold on, I got to put this on my notes too. I thought about it when I was walking around the house, getting ready to do this, but I forgot about it and didn't put it in my notes. Yeah, I got another topic. All right. So I got Operation Logic Bomb, and it's covered with a bunch of rental stickers. And they're very obnoxious, and they're right on the label. But it was the cheapest copy of the game. And I think that's another good thing about the stickers, is there's a good chance I'll be able to get them off should I choose to. But it reduces the price, and I'm a cheap cunt. I like to have the real deal and play the game, and like to do it affordably. Because, man, paying $20 for a Super Nintendo game, that just kind of doesn't sit right with me. That's fucking expensive for a video game. It's 20 years old, in my opinion. That's me. I'm weird. And I mean, I don't care how the video game market changes. The more it changes to expensive, the more surly I get about it. But I'm listening to this podcast, and they're talking about collecting motivations. What motivated you to begin collecting video games? And between the two of them, they could come up with two reasons, and I think none of them are the right reason to have a large, sexy collection of video games. Again, I'm a maniac, you know. Highly controversial opinions about pretendo titty bitches wiggling and jiggling. But they came up with nostalgia, reliving your childhood, getting games you played when you were a child. And they came up with, shit, I don't even know. Just completing sets and collecting. Like, the female host was like, you know, you start out with nostalgia, you're collecting games, and oh, before you know it, you have 100 games. And then you really want to get to 200, and then 250. And who's really motivated by that? It's just like, well, I have 200 games. I got to make it 500. How can I only own arbitrary amount? I should also own other arbitrary amount. Like, it made no fucking sense to me. And, I mean, God bless this podcast for giving me a reason to get so fucking pissed that I release another solo episode. The last one had such a positive response, you know, I'm just kind of itching to get behind the microphone, do some squawking, and see how far I can carry the show by myself. I think there's something to that. Listening to someone that is so interested in a topic that at 1 in the goddamn morning they'll stare at their little notepad document with their little notes and have a little discussion with the ether. But they neglected the reason, like, I don't have a large collection of video games because I want to buy a game I had when young, because I kept all my games when I was young. I didn't sell them. My mom didn't throw them away, or whatever tragic horror story that happens to people. I have all my games. Like, I don't have any nostalgia for the Super Nintendo because I never stopped playing Super Nintendo. when the Super Nintendo was done and I had a PlayStation, shit, if I found the Super Nintendo game I wanted to play, I bought it and I played it. You know, I got Legend of Zelda in 1997 after Link to the Past. I got Link to the Past brand new at a Kmart in 97 after I had my PlayStation. And I loved that game. It was a good game. Same thing with Super Mario RPG. Rented that at Blockbuster, loved it, went out and bought it. Well, probably asked my mom to buy it. I was like in middle school back then. But I obtained it after I had my PlayStation and loved the shit out of that. And I think they neglect the most important thing is I purchase video games to play the video games. And like I said, I don't, just because I'm done with a book, I don't give it away or sell it. I put it on a bookshelf. And someday in the future, should I want, I read it again. With DVDs. I mean, now, because everybody sold off their fucking DVD collections and shit because of Netflix, you don't get a lot of return selling used media unless you got, like, you know, harder to find movies or whatever. But whatever. Same thing with the DVDs. I kept them. Yeah, if I want to watch the movie again, I put it in my player and watch it again. Why should games be any different? I feel that you spend more money on them. That gives me more reason to hold on to it. Because should I want to play that game in the future, well, shit, it'd be a hell of a lot more expensive to buy another copy of Saturn Bomberman now. If I played it, was done with it, and sold it, well, if I wanted to play it again in the future, like a legit copy, shit, man, like, I paid $30 for it. I think I did pretty all right by holding on to it. It is appreciated in value. Not that that is a concern of mine, but should I want to play a game that I'd sold, you know, just, I don't know. It seems like they don't get the playing video games part. I didn't have any nostalgia when I bought a Sega Genesis for the first time in about 2006. I wanted to play Sega Genesis games. So I did the sensible thing and I bought a Sega Genesis and I bought the games I wanted to play and I played them. And likewise, I thought, oh, this is a pretty good game. I'm going to keep it. Set it on my shelf. Have it look nice. I don't know why they get under my skin so much. It's called The Collector's Quest. Listen to it. It's a short podcast. It's a half an hour. Or don't listen to it. So that you'll be surprised in the next episode when I start boo-hooing about these internet dummies that make me super mad and hurt my precious little feelings. I don't know, it fucking annoyed me that it's like, and they talk about it like, these are the only two reasons I can think for having many video game. Because you had it when you were a kid, and because you just want to increase the numbers of your collection? Like, what the fuck? What? I buy the game to play the fucking game. I have never bought a game that I have no intention of buying. Has anyone bought a book just to sit on a shelf? Probably. And that person's a fucking lunatic, I can tell you that much. Who knows? Maybe they have a legit reason. Or investing. They also mentioned investing. I think those might be the only two reasons. Investing or nostalgia. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. Investing to resell and being filthy reseller scum and nostalgia only. I'm pretty sure that's what they said. These two jokers make so many ridiculous fucking statements. No, the number one reason to buy a video game should be to fucking play them. I had no nostalgia for the Sega CD. I thought, wow, this looks like an interesting piece of hardware. I'm fascinated by it. I would like to purchase game and play it. Never had one in the 90s. Had no fucking nostalgia for anything Sega except for the Saturn. Which I've mentioned in the podcast before. I don't know, it just rubbed me the fucking wrong way. So, today, I have a little bit of time, so out cruising around with my girlfriend, as I like to do. And I was like, yeah, let's go to St. Francis. And I went to St. Francis to look for some video games. Found about six. Looked through the CDs, didn't find any PlayStation or anything in a jewel case. I'll take that back. I think I found like one piece of shit educational PC game. Like, yeah, whatever, that shit doesn't really count. Looked through the DVDs, found like three Xbox and like maybe two PlayStation 2 games, I want to say, and a Wii game. Sports, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six 3, some other shooting game on the Xbox, and I thought, no, these are $2, you know, maybe I'll buy these, maybe I'll play them. And then I looked at the discs, and they were just fucked. Just obliterated. The only game they had there that wasn't obliterated was Dance Dance Revolution. Forget the subtitle, PS2, it's an iToy game. And I have an iToy, and I thought, I might get a kick out of this. You know, it's $4, it's in good condition, it's complete, put it on a shelf. Wobble in front of my TV for a little bit. And it's like, $4 is a lot for this. Like, I'd go 99 cents on that. For 99 cents, shit. It's hard to say no to a game for $1. But I said no to it, and then we went to a different thrift shop in the area, and this is the one that I mentioned a long time ago trying to get a job, but man, I'm glad I didn't get a job there. It's always crowded and busy, and there's just like this line of little ladies in the back rooting through like dirty-ass shoes, and just smells like someone farted in an armpit, and I couldn't be in there fucking 8 hours a day. 20 minutes is enough for me. And so I do the same thing. You do the general, they keep video games behind the counter. Nothing remarkable. And then I went to the media section where they have CDs, because the last time I went in there, I found three or four PS1 games mixed in with the CDs. And they're like Atari collections, and I think there's a Namco museum in there. And stuff like that. And I was like, those are pretty solid finds for like $1 or $2. So, go to where they got the DVDs and CDs and shit. And fucking bingo jackpot. If you follow my Instagram, which I know you don't because no one clicked like on it except for people I know in person that were physically there. And PlayStation free points account, which is bullshit because I use the PlayStation hashtag, so just like a couple of bots liked it. But got Strikers 1945 for the PS1, complete, good condition, 99 cents. Looks like a decent shmup. In fact, for $1, I'll screw around with it. I'll get a couple minutes of entertainment out of it before I get super pissed and frustrated and stick it on my shelf to look sexy, because I needed to bolster the numbers of my PlayStation collection. It looked good. It looked like something that I might be able to get into. You never know. I'm willing to try for $1. And then also mixed in the CDs, I found three video CDs, and I can't give you any titles because they're all Chinese. One of them has Jackie Chan on it. Actually, that's not true.
That's not true.
Hold on. The best part of podcasting is when the host walks away. Hope you love my number one jam. Alright, let's clear off a little table space here. Just listen to the rustling of the band. It's probably all you can hear. Should have done this in advance. Could have hit pause, but I didn't. Alright, Strikers 1945, we talked about that. Now these are a little stuck together. This is stuck together in a bad way. I tried to clean these up at my woman's house, and, I hope I'm not fucking this up. This is the exact same thing she did. And she's like, oh, I'm gonna fuck it up, babe. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. Because now I'm fucking it up. The sticky from one of the cardboard cases is stuck to the sticky on the CD jewel case. Oh, this is tense. I'm gonna have to fuck with this later. One of them has English words on it. I don't know if it's the title or a subtitle, but it's called Love on Delivery, and it's got a woman clasping her hands like she's looking lustfully at her lover. And then there's a dude with a tuxedo and a gun, and then a pretty angry looking dude in a fucking polo shirt. Here we go. We're getting it up. There it is. See, there's no rubbing alcohol at her house. She's got these, like, swabs because she's a nurse. And there's, like, barely any rubbing alcohol on that shit. So now I got sticky on sticky stuck to each other, ruining this kick-ass case. But they're video CDs. Chinese video CDs. And I'm going to get done with this here podcast. And I'm going to watch this shit. I'm going to start with Love on Delivery, because I wonder if it's about prostitutes. Maybe this woman gets delivered to polo shirt man and tuxedo dudes. Like, fuck you, that's my titty bitch. I'm going to take her to the beach and watch her play volleyball because I'm a Chinese piece of shit. That's how I imagine the movie goes. God damn, if I fucking turned into a complete piece of shit, should I be embarrassed about the things I'm saying? Should I be blushing a little bit? I don't fucking know anymore. Maybe the social justice warriors are right. Maybe I literally just raped you by saying words that are offensive to my feelings. So we got Love on Delivery, and we got Jackie Chan on this other thing. I can't tell what the movie is. There's like three people behind him in a car driving off an overpass, it looks like. Then we got this other video CD. And we got some Chinese people on the bottom. One that looks like a nerd and has this round, like, Chinese. If you're looking at propaganda films, like that kind of round Asian eyeglasses. Then you got a guy that's got like a blindfold and he's tied to a pole of some type. Then we've got a really alarmed looking dude. And let's see, on the back we got a guy that's got sunglasses. He looks pretty mean. He's probably the bad guy. And then we also got a guy in a suit pointing. He looks pretty pissed about something. So, video CDs. I've never found a video CD out in the wild. These look like they're Chinese. Doesn't look like any Japanese on here. So, all I can tell you is I got a Jackie Chan, Love on Delivery, and this other one that I tried to describe. It's got all sorts of moon runes on it. I'm going to have to use my special technique to get the stickiness off. I take a Q-tip, dip it in alcohol, and I just dab, because these are all cardboard cases. Thanks a lot, fucking thrift store. Put them in a bag, staple it shut, and then put the sticker on that instead of putting the sticky shit, because now I can't put them on a shelf together, because they'll stick together, and then I'll just have the same mess every time I want to fuck with them, which I probably will only want to fuck with them one time, just to see what they are. Like, you can watch a Jackie Chan movie without hearing it and enjoy Jackie Chan jumping around. These look like action movies, so I can just watch that shit. And then, Strikers 1945. You fly airplanes and you go pew, pew, pew. One or two players. So that's what I found today. Spent $3.28. Hell of a deal, if I do say so myself. And I do. Let's see. So I got that done. I recently bought an Elgato because I want to start recording things in S-video. And it's hard to do with my DVD recorder set up. And I have another high-definition game capture card, and I love it. It's fucking great. It's portable. Does a lot of things. But it does not support anything lower than HD. So I tried buying an upscaler and putting it in there, but it ended up being not an actual upscaler. It just converted the inputs, basically. It didn't actually upscale anything. So it still came in as standard definition and just spazzed the fuck out and told me to fuck off. So bought myself an Elgato, which you can get a little dongle, you know, hook it up to your dongle and plug in S-video. And the Elgato software has streaming features built in, which, actually, let me check right now. I was dicking around with the YouTube streaming, and I was like, I'm going to play Saturn Bomberman. Then I died, and it's just like, I'm mad. and quit. Just quit playing. And so you'll see some bad gameplay. But this was a live stream. No one showed up. I played for a few minutes. And I couldn't figure out a few things. And I don't know why it saved. And I don't know. I didn't want it to. But you see the opening cutscene and the first few levels. And then I die. And then I'm like, oh, I got this headache and I feel like shit. And I quit playing. But it actually looks decent. My internet's got upgraded here. You know, the yearly annual negotiation process. I mostly stay at my woman's house now, but I still come back to the crib, come back to the ha, a few days of the week, one or two days of the week, and help my mom with shit. And doing my job, I've learned how to negotiate with the cable company. You threaten to leave, or a lot of people. They'll do a year with DirecTV, a year with Dish, a year with cable. They just keep bouncing back and forth to get those first-year deals. A lot of people do that shit. Like, at least once a week, I do that fucking chicanery for someone. And, so it's like, moms, I know you don't want to pay this new arbitrarily raised bill. Here's what you do. You don't have a bundle yet. And they will do goddamn anything to get your phone service, including increase your internet speed, send you a new modem router so that you can plug your piece of shit home phone into it, and they will drop your bill price for the privilege of giving you better services. So she did that, got the bill reduced, and now my download is 37 megabits per second. Used to be 16 or so. So it's more than doubled my downs. And my upload used to be like 1.1 megabits per second. And now it's 6.3 megabits per second. Which is not too shabby. It's pretty good for streaming. So I got better internets. And I happened to get an Elgato. And I was like, okay, what's the easiest way where I can play on the CRT and stream? Fucking Y cables, man. I have a shitload of Y cables and they come in handy all the damn time. So the inputs on the Elgato slapped some Y cables into it. So I got video cable going from my system into one of the inputs on the Elgato and then the other input into the TV, and streamed some House of the Dead on Twitch, did a playthrough, electrocuted myself. Let me take a minute. Talk about that. So I'm holding the light gun, playing House of the Dead, and, you know, I was watching the credits because I just beat the game. I was like, oh, there's a bunch of shit on my TV. So I grabbed my jacket, which is on the floor, crumpled up like a fucking animal, and right in front of the TV. So I picked that up, and I'm wiping the TV off. But as soon as I pick up the jacket and touch the TV, I'm holding a plastic gun, and I get static shocked through my middle finger from the plastic gun. Somehow, and then my TV goes white. So I'm like, oh, did it change the input or something? So, and I'm also shitting bricks, because this is my heavily modded Sega Saturn that electrocuted me. Like, the gun's plugged into my Saturn that I put a region switch in, which is probably the most challenging technical work I've done. You know, did some soldering in a really tiny space, and it's got a mod chip in it, and those are getting pricier to replace. It's like $25 when I bought it. Now they're up to $40. So I'm like, oh, I'm shitting bricks. So I grab the TV remote, flip the input, and it's like not doing anything. Turn it off and on, and it's still on a white screen. And then I turn the Saturn off and on, and then it was fine. So I was like, oh, thank God. So I guess I know not to do that. I got shocked. I would say it was, imagine the worst time you've ever been static shocked. Time's about three. It's about in that ballpark. I don't know if the fucking light gun still works. I pulled the trigger a few times and the LEDs that light up lit up, but I haven't tested that out. Not sure if I feel safe doing that. I know not to touch the screen of my TV while holding that fucking thing, though. That's a little kooky. So I did some streaming. I streamed Operation Logic Bomb. I got most of the way through that game, like pretty far into it. Played and beat Fortified Zone, which is in the same series as Operation Logic Bomb. Not many people stopped by. I didn't announce it on the Facebook, so I was just fucking around. And didn't have the mic on anyway. I was just sticking around playing games. So I think from now on, since I'm going to be recording shit with my Elgato, just pretty much any time I'm recording, I'm just going to flip on the stream. If people watch, they watch. If not, whatever. It's really no skin off my dick to just click the button and have two things happen at once. So keep an eye out for that. If you're curious about what my name is on Twitch, it is Mark Blurgstein. No, it's fucking Jerry Terrifying, you goddamn maniacs. You know what it is. You know what I do on the internets. So check that out. Follow it out. I really don't know how Twitch works. I tried to click around and watch people play video games, but I just don't get it. Even though I've streamed a lot. Maybe I'll finish Lucien's quest. I've got a notepad file somewhere telling me where I'm at. I think I need to go east and like beat up a witch or something, if memory serves. I played the entirety of that game while streaming on Ustream back in the day, a few years ago. Haven't finished it. I got like two last things to do before I beat it. So I should probably do that because I really loved that game. It was a good time. So I got an Elgato. Next paycheck, because I've spent my dick off fund for this pay period. But the next thing, I'll get the analog adapter so I can start recording shit in S-Video. And, because, I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to be one of those guys that gets the fucking Frame Meister. Because it adds input lag. And, I don't know if I just convinced myself that it makes a difference, but I think it makes a difference. And I actually prefer playing on a CRT now. Excuse me. What was I going to say, man? Shit, what was I going to say? Okay, here's what I'm basing that input lag statement on. Played Demon's Crest at my girlfriend's house on her HDTV, which the one in the living room is, it's not from a pure shit brand, but it's not like super high-end. It was like an inexpensive, fairly large LCD TV. Many years after anyone stopped giving a fuck about analog shit. I think my Samsung HDTV from 2007 does a great job because it was a really expensive TV at the time. And has tons of analog inputs. So I think its encoders does a pretty fucking nice job. And of keeping up with older games. But I played Demon's Crest, and I was just getting wrecked. I mean, my shit was getting pushed in hard on that game. Came home, played it on this little piece of shit CRT that I keep in here for light gun games, and I just wrecked the game. I just went from where I was all the way to the end game without dying fucking once. And the only difference was a single day. So I don't think I became the shit at playing games. I think there's a few seconds of input lags worth of difference. I mean, even if it's just a few frames. I think it made enough difference for me just fucking getting annihilated by this enemy to just fucking shit up. So, I prefer playing. You know, I got that sexy Trinitron now. Games look fucking phenomenal on it. And, yeah, so I'm gonna get that analog adapter and I'm gonna start. One of my next projects is slowly gonna be start upgrading everything to S-Video. If you go and, you know, I typically don't outright just ask for things, but if anyone has legit name brand first party S-Video cables for any system, let me know. I will purchase them from you. Because, I mean, I know Dreamcast has VGA, but I don't want to fuck with it, really. Like, I'm happy to upgrade to S-Video, because that'll look pretty crisp on the Trinitron. But official Dreamcast S-Video cables are like 30 or 40 bucks. So you take that, multiply it by the 12 fucking systems I have. And not even that, like, the Sega Genesis, I'm going to have to modify it I'm thinking about modding the 32X for S-Video output, because I have a couple of those knocking about, and I have a couple Model 1 Genesis's that I'm going to modify for S-Video, because I don't want to... I have one working Sega Master System, knock on wood, and I have a power-based converter, and many Model 1 Genesis, so I can just modify the Model 1 Genesis and use that for Master System, and then also for Sega CD and Genesis games. So modifying that gives me three systems worth of S-Video. And then, yeah, I just may not worry about the 32X. There's a handful of fucking games on it, so I really don't need to go out of my way to do that for the premium real deal video footage. Hell, not that it even fucking matters. I mean, who really cares that much? I'm never going to compete with your game sex in my life and gaming with video quality, but I don't know, it's something I've been thinking about. This is something I wanted to talk about in the last episode. And for Christmas, I got the Game Boy Everdrive. I don't think I mentioned that in the episode, and I think I wanted to. So I don't know, I guess I'll keep it more brief than... I am prone to ramble, which I guess is good if you're gonna do a one-man talk show. You gotta be able to talk. I suppose it's the number one skill. Anyway, Game Boy Everdrive. I've tested this thing out pretty hard. I take a Game Boy Color with me to work. I've been playing through, say I beat Dragon Quest 1, and I'm playing it on the Everdrive because I do have a legit copy of it, but it died on me. I was like 3/4 of the way through Dragon Quest and the fucking battery died. So then I'm like, oh, I'm going to start playing Metal Gear Solid at work. The fucking battery died like the second day. It's like, Jesus Christ. So I'd been wanting a Game Boy Everdrive, and my wonderful woman, my girlfriend, she bought that for me for Christmas, and tossed a 2 GB SD card I had laying around in that son of a bitch, dropped some ROMs on it, and have been having a fucking blast. I think Everdrives are the smart way to go. If you're into video games and you're into a particular system and there's an Everdrive for it, fuck collecting right now. So expensive. Wait till the next financial crisis happens and all these goons start dumping and flooding the market and the prices plummet. Wait for that if you want to buy legit video games. But if you just want to play N64 because that's the big nostalgia thing right now, I got an N64 with the Atomic Purple controller on my own fucking street last summer for $2. I gave the man half a fistful of quarters. He was like, thank you, I appreciate this. This is a good transaction. I feel positive about this. I was like, me too. Firm handshake, locked eyes, was like, thank you, sir, this is an excellent deal. Thank you for this transaction. Then I got the fuck out of there with my $2.64. I was excited about the controller, because I gave one of my controllers to Kyle, my friend, my real-life friend, when I gave him an N64, the one I found before that, for $10. And then I kind of felt shitty. I was like, wow, I wish I found this before, because then I could have, like, here, Kyle, here is a $2 N64 that I found at garage sale-ing. I didn't just give him $8 back. What kind of maniac would do that? Who cares? Why am I talking about that? That's stupid. But, yeah, you can get the fucking N64 for dirt cheap. I've never seen the system actually go for very much. Of course, I don't really look at N64 stuff, because I kind of hate it. It's like my least favorite thing I got around here next to the Memorex Viz. Anyway, you can just get a system for pennies and then get an Everdrive, drop it like $100 or so. And because look at the N64 games. Like, even the shittiest N64 games are like $25-30. It's goddamn ridiculous. I think that's a lot for a 15-20-year-old game. Everdrives, really fucking love them. I forget if I talked about this in the last episode. I do that a lot. Tell the same fucking stories over and over. So let's move on. I'm fairly certain I did not mention Mario Maker in the last episode. I bought that from a woman for Christmas, and man, those first few days with it, played the shit out of it and loved it. Recently at a birthday event for one of her, for her mom, actually, some of her family was over, and one of the babies was like, and he is holding the case for Mario Maker when he was doing that, because he's a baby, and he goes, meh. And he was like, oh, Mario? You want to play Mario? Like, the way that people talk to babies the same way they talk to a dog. Like, that thing. Like, ooh, hey, ooh, everything's, Like, I always talk to a baby like, hello, how are you doing? My name is Jared. What do you want with me, young human being? Because I don't know how to be a regular person, I guess. So Mario Maker ended up in the Wii U and was playing that. And then one of her younger relatives, he's like high school aged, like he's getting his ass kicked. And it's like, eh, scoot over, son. Then I beat that shit on the first try. Which, you know, leads me to believe that it must have been an easy level. Because when people are watching me play video games, I'm absolute shit. But I managed to, like, just pick it up, run through it in the first try. And, it's like, and he's like, oh, I need something more casual. Mario's hard. So I'm like, here, play my level. And then he, like, the first screen, you stand on a platform and then you jump on one of those, like, orange girders that moves left and right, like Mario 1 style. And he just fucking died. And it's like, casual, huh? It's like, yeah, like, the thing slides over to the platform. You can just walk onto it slowly. Like, come on. And then I was like, Jesus Christ, let me show you how to play the goddamn level. So, Mario Maker's a lot of fun. There's a lot of challenging levels. My favorite thing that I found in it was the Game Center CX levels. Arano. What's his fucking name? Shinya. Arano Shinya. The Kacho Chief. Of Game Center CX had made levels, and there's like a little mystery mushroom that will make you like one of a kajillion multiple characters, so you can be the Kacho, and it's got all sorts of sound clips, and I'm so fucking glad they released that shit in America. That really made the game for me, going through like three or four Game Center CX levels. I mean, they were shit. I mean, if you watch Game Center CX, you know Arno, you know they're going to be shit. He's bad at Mario. Just because you play a lot of games doesn't mean you're a fucking game designer. But there's always something new to be found in the Mario Maker. So if you do have a Wii U, or suspect that someday in the future you may obtain a Wii U, Mario Maker is some primo software for that system. I forget if I talked about Metal Gear Solid 5s, so I'm going to keep these last two things. These are on my old notes, and I thought I hadn't talked about them, and I may have. I guess I'm getting old and shitty. Still haven't beat Metal Gear Solid 5. Still working on it. I unlocked Rocket Punch, or like Rocket Fist, Big Boss's mechanical hand. You can shoot it and radio control it and knock people out, and I think that is amazing. That has become my new favorite thing. I use it for reconnaissance because no one reacts to the Robo Fist flying around shooting fire out of it. I guess they just don't notice. You know, you can fly it up over a group of buildings and see who's around. I was looking for, like, I was doing one of the stupid side ops where, like, have to bag and tag some hyenas. I use that to scout the area quickly. fucking Rocket Punch. Hell yeah, that's cool. That is fucking neat. And then I made a breakthrough the last time I was playing. It's like, wait, why have I've used the horse. I've almost got like full stars, like friendliness levels with the horse. Wait a minute, why don't I just have the sniper come with me and have a fucking jeep drop at the landing zone? Oops. Because I should have thought about how to play the fucking game. So, still not done with that. Getting close. I think I'm on, like, mission 38. And if I remember correctly from when I Googled it, like, 7 months ago, there's, like, in the ballpark of 50 story missions. So, I'm nearing the end. And then for Christmas, also got Diablo 3. Played a little bit of that. Not sure if I mentioned it or not. Haven't gotten too far into it. Put a couple, like maybe an hour or two into it. If anyone here has Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls on the PS Quattro, hit me up. I would like to get some co-ops in with that. That'd be dope. I don't have the PlayStation Plus currently because I don't have anyone to play online games with, so why the fuck would I? I mean, I guess there's reasons. You know, like the free games you get. Maybe then I'd have something to fuck around with on the Vita TV, that fucking piece of shit. Actually, I think I did mention... Did I mention Metal Gear Solid 5 in the last episode and using the Vita TV to play it with remote play? Again, if I did, ignore the next few minutes. If not, here we go. I set up the PlayStation TV out in my girlfriend's living room, and the PS4's in the bedroom, and it works really well. Something I do want to comment on, I was curious if you could use a PS3 controller on the PS4, and I googled around, and like the official response is no, it's not sensitive enough, it's, you need the high-tech, you know, $60 controller to do it. But when I hooked up the PlayStation TV in the living room and used the DualShock 3, it controlled Metal Gear Solid 5 fucking flawlessly. I was really surprised. Like, it didn't feel like there was any significant lag. I'm sure there was. But I managed to beat a bunch of missions. And I didn't have a problem. I was using the older controller that's supposed to be less sensitive and all this. And, I don't know. But, let's see. I think that's everything that I have to bitch and moan about now. I guess I'm gonna stop recording here in a second, and then I will screw around with these video CDs. I'm gonna toss them in that old Sega Saturn, and I don't know, just look at them. I'm hoping that these are like Hong Kong versions, and they have English audio, like, or something. With these video CDs, they use the stereo audio channels sometimes in these Asian video CDs. This might be something I picked up from Reto Kaiser. This seems like something he might have told me, but, or just my journeys on the internet, I don't know. The left audio, let's say, will be Chinese, and the right audio will be English. So you can alternate. So I'm gonna check this Jackie Chan movie out. Maybe this is like some Hong Kong shit and it's got English dubbing or something. Maybe not. I'm not holding my breath. I'm assuming this shit's gonna be Chinese as hell. And I don't know. I spent, let's see, who's good at math? Let's see, 0.69. I'm not gonna tell you what the problem is until I'm done. So you can't be good at math and do better than me. Paid $2.07 for these three video CDs. That's 69 cents a piece. $2. Got three fucking movies. And, yeah, I'm gonna watch them. I mean, have any of you just gone out in real life and happened across a video CD? That's never happened to me before. So, looks like we just crossed the 1 hour mark. That's a pretty good length for a podcast. Let me know what you think. Oh, wait. Shit. We got comments to read. Duh. So, the last episode, the one before that, was an E3 episode from last year. I'm going to read these comments because I didn't do it last time. There's a couple of them. Six comments, actually. Death Adder writes in, as someone who has done 95% of his gaming on a PlayStation 3 since early 2008, I thought I'd give my thoughts on the bad guys as of late. Microsoft has been drunk off of Mountain Dew and greed for the past 10 years. The Xbox 360 was a time bomb with an insane yearly fee just to go online, and not to mention practically no exclusive titles. While the Xbox One was originally announced as the console to destroy all video games as we know it, Even once they took away the DRM, you still had to pay an additional $100 for some piece of shit Kinect that nobody wanted, and was originally designed to watch you masturbate while drunk on the couch. So the fact that you can now get a $350 Xbox One with all of the bullshit stripped away, being backwards compatible, arguably, and some decent games coming out for it, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. I haven't felt this good about Microsoft since the original Xbox days, and see no problem with picking one up now, even if it means a permaban from the Sony ponies over at the Mondo Coolcast. Also, the announcement of Fallout 4 finally has me scraping together my pennies for a current-gen console. That game is going to be fucking amazing. I'm going to get so much rad poisoning. Excellent comment. And, I could see you making the argument for definitely being a Sony pony. I do own a PlayStation TV, after all. Wow, so you definitely got to be a bit of a Sony pony to have one of those bad boys knocking about. But, no, I don't see a problem at all with owning an Xbox One right now. Although, I really don't know much about current-gen games. Honestly, there's nothing that's really just blowing my skirt up, getting me crazy. I think I forgot to mention, I think that I'm going to buy the volleyball game and do some wiggling at the beach. But yeah, Xbox One, I'll probably own one before the generation's over. I'm gainfully employed now, so I can just save my little penny stacks, and you're right, it's already dropped to an affordable price, and 2 years will be more affordable. Hopefully. And, I'll get one someday. I really don't see any reason to be a fanboy. I mean, if we're being honest, you should probably just get a PC. Get the Steam and download that shit. Mecha Menace wrote in, "Who gives a damn if Mondo Coolcast is 5 hours? There is a pause button." I don't know. I think you're missing the subtleties, friend. This is how timely this is. Shenmue 3 still needs your help. Sony will not fund development as previously reported. Link to things. A lot of people at the time were saying, oh, Sony's going to back it. You know, they just want to see if there's interest with the Kickstarter. That may or may not have been true. A lot of people were holding off on backing it just because they thought that. So, I think there's a Slacker backer system. You may be able to still back it. I don't know. The Devil Burning. Since when did F-bombs get censored? Damn it. You guys pissed me off. I still can't hear what your girlfriend was talking about when I said, oh my god, under my breath. Tell her to take a chill pill. Such an ego. Link to Sega Master System Game Gear System combo I mentioned. I don't know what that is. I'm going to look at it right now. Have no idea what this cat is on about.
How's it going?
Oh, this looks pretty fucking neat. There's a regular Master System, and then to the left of the cart slot, there's a little homemade slot for a Game Gear game. I'm going to have to watch this after I get done. If you're curious, go back like 3 episodes to the E3 2015 episode. The comment continues, is that music around the 3-hour, 9-minute mark from a Toeplan game? It sounds like Hellfire on the Genesis. Not a clue, because Justin edited that episode, I believe. British Steel writes, I don't care how long the Mondo Coolcast episode is, put the MP3 on my phone and listen to it on the job. The longer it is, the longer I don't have to listen to people talk at work. Same with Tiger Claw Radio. I really don't like how Konami went off the deep end. I don't care if you're abandoning consoles and going to mobile formats. You don't shit-can the best creative talent in the industry, nor do you cancel your 2 flagship franchises. I have a few tunes for you guys. I have a few tunes you guys can use for the show. Mondo Cool still have a Dropbox. Yeah. British Steel, send me an email. Jerry Terrifying, you know my email address, brother. Or Mondo Cool Media @gmail.com. I think that might actually, I don't know. Send me a fucking email, we'll figure it out. I'll invite you. Oh wait, you already are on the Dropbox. Yeah, just drop some shit in the Dropbox, man. Drop me some tunes to use on the show. Because I have no idea what I'm going to play. Devil Burning responded to Mecha Menace. Mecha Menace, I was scrolling through the comments and my girlfriend saw your post telling her to take a chill pill. This is her response. So much autism in this comment thread. Tell Mecha that the equivalent of me taking a chill pill is for me to fly down to Southern California and beat your ass into the ground. I would be careful, bro. She knows people. Mecha wrote, that's a lot of spice from your girlfriend, TDB. A quick temper could work against her in a situation with the wrong person. I'm just advising caution. Oh my god. Oh man. Just gotta chill out from the autism. And I hope that's a joke. Like, I can't tell. Am I the autistic one? As I think about those few short moments in the cast, I'm understanding it more and more. I believe people shouldn't feel like they're being attacked when I throw out an oh my god, because I don't want to continue with the topic. Not that I'm dismissing their opinion. I just don't want to go down that road in conversation. And oh my god is more brief, and it is my fault for not fully explaining this. It has nothing to do with her personally. God damn, way to tuck your tail in between your legs, Mecha Menace. I think I'm going to have to use internet detective skills, get your address, and send it to Justin's woman. P.S. Thanks for answering my music question in Mondo Cool 111. Being that the track was from Galaxy Force 2, it is no wonder that I thought the music might be from OutRun. The arcade machines run the same sound hardware. And Balzac wrote in. Well, since Critical Failure said on his last podcast that sending in comments and emails helped him to get back to the podcasting horse, or back on the podcasting horse, I thought I might as well try the same with you, Jerry. So, here it goes. First question, what are your thoughts on the Steam Machine? I was eyeing one up before it came out because I like the idea of a PC-console hybrid. Also, the controller looks amusing to me. However, once I found out that only 1/7 of the Steam library would run on it, and that most of these games are low-quality indie games, I gave up. Maybe they'll fix that in the future. No, just get a fucking PC. Get a gaming-quality PC. You can upgrade it later. It's worth the investment. You can do much more. If you want to play PC games, get a PC. If you want to play console, get console games. A PC-console hybrid? No, that's just a consoleized version that uses fucking Steam instead of... And just, you know... It's got shit hardware because it has to be affordable. Yada, yada, yada. Just, if you want to play PC games, get a fucking PC. Save money. People don't seem to understand that you can just wait. You don't need instant gratification. If it takes you 2 years to save up money and build a gaming quality PC, guess what? All the games that came out in those 2 years will still be there waiting for you. Actually, recently I went over to Critical Failure's YouTubes. And he's got a series. He's building a gaming PC for $500, saving his allowance, what I would call a fuck-off fund. You know, the money that he has that can be pissed away on things that aren't important, like his children. You know, feeding them and doing things you do when you parent that take money. I don't know. Second question, did you ever try the PlayStation Now service offered on the PlayStation 4? Asking since I am wondering if the input lag improved a little bit. Also interested in it because it gives me a chance to play some PS3 games that I missed out on without actually having to buy a PS3. No, I haven't. I'd recommend buying a PS3 and playing this fucking games. It's probably going to be your best bet. Streaming services, I don't know, the internet's just not there yet. You know, maybe someday in the future. I really don't know. So those are old comments from like a year ago, almost. These are comments from the last episode. Balzac writes in, oh yeah, new Mondo Coolcast after a 9-month hiatus. This is, so far, has now been your longest hiatus. About the first episode of Mondo Cool TV, don't you worry, I'll keep a copy of the first episode here just for you in case I have some use for it. Got to fill this 1 terabyte hard drive with something. You know, you say that, but I've almost filled my 2 terabyte hard drive. Don't try to make a TV show in HD, my friend. Producing videos eats up a lot of fucking storage. Anyways, glad to hear your voice again after not hearing it for so long. Look forward to the next episode when E3 comes around in June. Well, guess what, bud? The next episode got here before June. Death Adder wrote in simply, "I came buckets." Critical Failure writes in, "Holy shit, Jerry made a new audio fun." He also comments, "Get an FM transmitter for your truck to jam out while your tape deck is broken." They go for like 10 or 12 bucks, and he provides a link. I've used those before. There's not a lot of free space on the radio. Like, there's not a lot of clear space on the dial. Like, every three fucking... I don't know how to fucking articulate it, but there's not a station I can put it on where if I drive more than 25 feet, it'll come in staticky because the radio stations overpower it. There's just nowhere on the fucking dial I can tune into it where it won't be a problem. I've used those before and I'm not very happy with them. Those strike games were cool as shit. I was never any good at them, but they were all goddamn fun. Talking about, like, Jungle Strike and Desert Strike and all that. And yeah, the first one, I put quite a bit of time into it, and I picked it up. I really liked it. But, yeah, the second mission just kicked my dick in, and I think there's only the three missions in that first one. But, yeah, it's a good series. I mean, shit, I'd pick it up. It's cheap. Like I said, you know, games are expensive now, so looking for cheap and good, decent, fun games is something I'm super into, and those fit the bill. I got Desert Strike, Jungle Strike, and Urban Strike complete in box, the cardboard variant, not the clamshell. There's two versions of them. There's the hard plastic clamshell that have the EA cartridge with the little yellow tab, and then there's the cardboard box versions that are in regular Genesis carts. So if you're a variant collector, you gotta get both, and you gotta fill up. You gotta get the numbers up. I mean, how can you just have one? How can I just have the cardboard copies and not the clamshell? You gotta get on eBay and purchase it. Fucking lunatics, man. But those is something to be aware of. I didn't really care. This auction popped up. It was $10. Three games. Three manuals, three complete cases, pretty good condition. Not bad. It's an affordable series. If you like helicopters and going pew, 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 hey. Darth Talus writes in, "You live! Dun, dun, dun." It's nice to hear from you too, Darth Talus. I follow you on the Facebook and I see a lot of your crazy, shit, Australian right politics. Anyway, Darth Talus writes in, "I use eucalyptus oil to..." It's like the most fucking Australian thing you could say. "I use eucalyptus oil to remove stickers on plastic cases. It works well with our classification stickers when they're used and printed on the sleeves. They're thick as shit, and the adhesive could be used to strip air. I've never attempted to remove stickers from older cardboard boxes for the fear of ruining the box. Never thought of using a hairdryer. I remember buying a cheap 32X, and it was an absolute mess. The RF shielding was caked in rust. I pulled that apart, scraped the shielding clean, cleaned up the board with isopropyl, and washed the plastic outer casing. Worth it, though. Thing works. I can't remember the name of it, but there was a game on the SNES that sounds similar to Desert Strike. All I remember was that it was pretty good. Desert Strike was also on the Super Nintendo, but I think... I don't even want to try. There's a helicopter game that I haven't actually fucked with. I got it at the garage sales last year, and it's for the Super Nintendo. Maybe it's that. Maybe I should. I don't want to get up. I mean, my Super Nintendo games are right next to me, but it's dark in here. I need to get my flashlight that I have to use because I live in a dank pit to look. So let's just pull up the game log. Well, that was quick. So let's boogie on down to Super Nintendo. And let me see if I can find it real. Choplifter 3? I don't know. I don't know if that looks like Desert Strike or not. I could probably look. Let's look. I like looking. Do you like looking? Choplifter 3 SNES. And then Nah, this looks like fucking Choplifter. It's not at the isometric angle. But if you didn't know, Desert Strike at least is on the Super Nintendo, and I think it sounds a little funny because it's like it's just a straight up port or some shit. I don't know. I listened to a long podcast about the Strike series before I picked it up and got into it. Let's see. Yeah, so I'm not sure what helicopter game you're talking about, Darth Dallas, but Desert Strike's on Super Nintendo, and I do not think it was Choplifter 3, because that looks like just 16-bit Choplifter. Gaming Beast 82 writes in, "New Mondo Coolcast. Fucking epic." Yeah, I sometimes listen to my old music that I used to enjoy when I was younger. It's nostalgic, but it can get pretty cringy and embarrassing. Good thing is that people change. I'm kind of sick of guys just hoarding games, but never playing them. What's the point? I've only collected a little so far, but I play old games on various emulators regularly. That's what I'm talking about. That's, you know what, Sean? That's probably a pretty healthy attitude. The more I read about these people that that emulate, you know, they're actually playing the fucking games. They're not just buying shit. I mean, I enjoy buying shit and stacking it up and looking at it and having cool pictures and showing off my collection. But I like playing the games more. And I don't know, there's just so many people that seem to be in it for the e-cred. Anyway, Gaming Beast 82 continues. I also want to get more games for the Super Nintendo and Nintendo Entertainment System for playing purposes, but they're just getting more expensive. Gonna get a Super Nintendo region converter and a Genesis with a region switch too, or I guess it's a typo, so I can play all my American games. Getting a Nintendo region converter is more of a bitch, as these were rare, and if you can find one, they're expensive. I do think it's cool to know that something you bought has a history to it. Not a big Instagram fan, but I'll check yours. I'm sure it's cool. You're goddamn right it's cool. Yeah, when I played my Nintendo Entertainment System on my modern flat screen, something didn't feel right. It's like you gotta play a Commodore 64 or an Atari on a huge old tube TV. I agree with that. It just doesn't feel like it's an Atari unless you have the two dials, the UHF and the VHF. Like, that's really what it's about. Bithead is pretty entertaining. Watched his Kadash Let's Play last. I'm happy you have been working on content. We all need more Jerry Terrifying in our life. I'd love to be on the show one of these days again. Good episode, man. Keep up the good work. Yeah, I know. No, it's, I'm saying yeah, I know. It'd be nice to have you on the show. It's been a while since I've talked to you on Skype. I just do so much running around. I'm always here. I'm always working. I'm always there. I'm always buying this. I'm obsessed with fucking garage sales. I've already been to a couple this year and haven't found anything yet, but they're just starting to pop up. Yeah, I'll have to get you on the show, but arranging time just becoming such a pain in the balls. Tecmo Balls writes in, well, I haven't heard from you in a long time. This is a blast from the past. Tecmo Balls writes in, yes, Mondo Cool. I subscribed to Bithead 1000. Like what I see so far. Best fucking channel on YouTube. I don't think anyone can make a show more entertaining than that, son of a bitch. British Steel writes in, I share your British Steel writes in, let's try this again. I share your sentiment on shelf collecting. My only pet peeve is if I buy a card on eBay, and since the picture and actual item doesn't match, I have Sharpie scribbled on it, I'm pissed. My only problem is Sharpie on the label, not the back, though. In regards to buying games, yes, I buy them to play them, not just to have them sit on my shelf. When it comes to the need to clean up and refurbish a game, or the game, it's the same with cars. I'm looking to get an older Chevy pickup with either the old Vortec 350 or a newer one with a 5.3 liter. I actually need a pickup. I don't care if it needs work done to it. I like tearing apart and rebuilding old engines. If I have to replace some parts and or put in some performance parts, it can be done. In the end, the game you just cleaned up and refurbished isn't just a plastic casing with a circuit board. You have a little more appreciation for your cartridge. And the same goes with your car. By the way, does your Durango have a V6 4.7 liter, 5.2 liter, 3 18 cubic inch, or a 5.9 liter 360? And are you a Chrysler Dodge fan, or is it just a coincidence that you replaced a Dodge with another Dodge? I'm not a very manly person. British Steel. Talking a little bit over my head. My dad and my brother are both Dodge people, and I've never had to take an interest in cars because my brother's been a professional mechanic pretty much all of his adult life, and whenever there's a car problem, I go to Eric, my brother, and whine at him until he fixes it. And that's been how it's been my entire driving life. And he's moving very soon to South Carolina, so that is going to come to an end. I mean, any car question I have, I can ask him, or I was like, hey, I need this looked at. Who do you recommend? He'd be like, oh, just call this guy at this place. Say I sent you. And it's worked out very well. my brother, someone he knows, can definitely help me out. But I'm taking more of an interest in this truck because, I don't know, just I fucking love this Durango. It's an excellent vehicle. I'm just really digging it. But I guess I'll read the comment I wrote in response. At British Steel. The Durango is a 5.2 liter V8 Magnum. I'm not really a car dude. My entire family is a Dodge family. I put 200,000 plus on the Neon. My brother's like, you should just buy my son's Durango. Winter was coming. In the past two winters, I was stuck in the snow. It was $1,000, so I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to buy this truck. I do love the Durango, and honestly, it probably should become more of a car guy. My brother's a professional mechanic for decades, but he's moving to lame South Carolina, so I won't be able to just ask him to fix shit for me anymore. LOL. So basically what I just said. I actually had to go find out how many liters it was, and I was like, ah, fuck, how do I do this? I got to look under the hood. Jesus Christ, what am I? Fucking a mechanic? Like, looking under the hood and reading information. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel ashamed that I'm not more of a car guy. You know, I can follow instructions like a son of a bitch. So maybe I'll take an interest in it. But, you know, I really don't know where to begin other than just trying to diagnose. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. But what a fucking whiny cunt. Anyway, British Steel writes in response, well, any V8 truck that starts, drives, and doesn't have transmission issues and has a body that's not rotten off the frame will go for a grand or more, so you did well on that. The 5.2 liter Magnum V8 is basically the metric name of the old 318 cubic inch Chrysler LA engine with electronic fuel injection replacing the old carburetor setup. 318 by 61 cubes per liter is... The 318 in one mod or another was put in trucks and some cars going all the way back to the 1960s. Chargers, Barracudas, Demons, Darts, Dusters, Dakotas, Imperials, Fury, on and on. Dodge and Plymouth cop cars even had these. You got the good V8, too. The 4.7 liter is a cuck until you get into the mid-2000s, but by that time, the much better 5.7 liter Hemi was available. Fucking moon runes to me. I mean, I know what you're saying, but it just doesn't get my crank hard. Like, you know, like a good proper man would, like, probably be fucking diamond hard right now talking about that shit. I don't know. I wish I had it in me to be a car guy. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe now that I actually have to start... thinking about this shit because I don't have a guy, I'm gonna have to become my own guy, and maybe I'll hit you up, British Steel. You seem to know what the fuck you're talking about. At least point me in the right direction so I know what questions to ask. Let's see, that's it, those are the comments. What are we pulling in at, like, oh wow, an hour and 25 minutes and 30 seconds. I don't know what song I'm going to play. My voice has begun hurting. I'm going to go drink some water. I got about an hour or two before I got to be sleeping. So I'm just going to save this MP3. And sometime tomorrow when I wake up, I'll figure out what song I'm going to play. I'm going to try to find something that's not sitting in my shit music folder. Because I just don't have a lot of fucking music on hand to play. I'd like to find something video game related to play, maybe. And, so I don't know, I'll figure it out. Maybe I'll ask someone, just like, hey, recommend a song real quick to tuck in here. But I hope not too much of it was shit I already talked about in the last episode, because I forgot, because, you know, unlike you, Balzac, I don't listen to this bullshit. I just sit in my little chair, I scream about whatever I'm thinking about at the moment, and, so, I don't know. I'm gonna dick around with these video CD movies, try to get the sticker residue off, delicately. What I do is, like I said earlier, you get the Q-tip just soaked in the, rubbing alcohol, and you dab. You don't want to rub it and ruin the cardboard. You just dab it, and then you take the dry end, and you dab it off. And you do this enough times, and it stops being as sticky. Like, I've never gotten it completely 100% normal, but I've gotten it to be at least less sticky, where I'll be able to put these on the shelf next to each other and not just come out all clumped and stuck again. Anyway, repeat myself already. Didn't even have to wait till the next episode of the Mondo Coolcast to hear me say the same old shit. Aren't you glad you hung around for an hour and a half? I guess that'll do it. I want to end the show, but I want to keep talking. It's a strange kind of feeling. Thank you for listening, thank you for downloading, thank you for sticking with the program. It really meant a lot to me to see so many comments so quickly. Crow, he tweeted, it's always nice when he pops into the chat room and I did the show live, it's nice when he comments. Write a comment. Won't you? I'm calling you out, I'm singling you out, Crow. On the Facebook, I do this. I post it once, and I say, fresh new Mondo Coolcast, come and get it. And then the next day I say, what? You still didn't listen to the Mondo Coolcast? Well, here it is. And then that's all the promotion I do for the show. He responded to one of those tweets and was like, yeah, I did hear the new Mondo Coolcast. I was listening to it in my car. So I'm going to infer from that you were using a smartphone. Why don't you use it for the purpose God created it? Make a fucking telephone call. And call the Mondo Coolcast hotline at 937-419-1223. Leave a voicemail. Leave a comment. Let me know how you feel about titty bitches wiggling at the beach. And this Joker's podcast, these other fucking podcast gets me all, just gets me all crunk in the brain and wanting to fucking scream until my voice hurts. Leave some comments. Have you ever found a video CD in a thrift store? How do you feel about the Elgato? Yeah, that's the one everyone has. Why didn't I just get that shit? I got the other ones. I wanted it to be portable, and that's come in handy. I recorded a lot of shit at my woman's house, and it was nice being able to just take it. But whatever. Come on, guys. Someone. Be the first person to call into the Mondo Cool hotline for the podcast. Got a few people to do it for the VAG episodes last summer. I'm talking to you, Crow. It's up to you, sir. The gauntlet has been thrown, so hopefully you don't miss this episode of the podcast. If anyone else is feeling up to the challenge, be the first to show him up. Make him look like he's got egg on his face, because he didn't call in and leave the first voicemail for the show, despite being singled out for that honor, for that privilege. Come on, Death Adder. Come on, Balzac. Sean. Darth Talus. Fucking British Steel. One of you. Pick up the phone. Leave a voicemail. Let's see, what's the number one more time before I go for realsies this time? 937-419-1223. Leave an opinion if you want to have a talk. Anything. Any audio file. You just call in, you say some shit, and I'll play it on the show. Call me a fucking doofus. I don't care. Thanks for tuning into the program. It really meant a lot to me that so many people tuned in, downloaded right away. Got the same numbers as usual. Had like 100... hits on the page like the next day. I don't know what it's at right now. That's not important, but the people that listen to the podcast are still there, and that means a super lot to me. That's why you're getting one so soon. meant a lot. So, thanks for listening. I'll pick a song tomorrow. Don't know what it is. Let's smoothly transition into that bullshit. See you around, fellers.
Fuck it up. Fuck it open. Eat it out. Give all the dick you got. Fuck it up. Fuck it open. Eat it out. Give all the dick you got. Fuck it up. Fuck it open. He can't use it. Rocking in a butt like a big freight train. Yeah. My fucking ain't vicious. It don't mean a thing. She don't want a twig prick. She got to have a big prick. One that is crooked and long. With a bottle, you'll hear the bitch holler, fuck it up.
Shit.